Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast. This is the guest segment, the Bees, 998 B to be specific. Dr. Lovato is our guest. Raymond Lovato from the Lovato Lab, LAVADOLAB.com at the University of, at Baylor University in Waco, Texas, to talk to us about a subject that you want to hear about. That is why so many people are obese, and it isn't just calories, it's these endocrine disruptors and what you can do about it. We are brought to you, as usual, by Persona Nutrition. You can take the free online assessment at mypersona.com. Find out about what vitamins, minerals you may be missing or not. You may find, that's one of the big surprises, people find that they're getting everything they need from their diet, and you may too. But you can also find out about the new things they have, such as Niagen or NAD, which helps your mitochondria. At least it helps animals' mitochondria function better. And many of the aging researchers I get to talk to take it for themselves. Dr. Lovato, thanks very much for coming on. First of all, tell us what an endocrine-disrupting substance is or what an endocrine disruptor is.
Yes, so thank you, Dr. Roizen, for having me here and giving me the opportunity to talk about the research that we do at Baylor University. So an endocrine disruptor is a chemical that may be natural or man-made and is interfering or mimicking the body hormones. Okay, so those chemicals are strongly linked to developmental, reproductive, brain, immune, and some other problems. Okay, and we are continually exposed every single day to them.
And now we're exposed. Why are we exposed to these so commonly? And were we ever exposed to them in the olden days, or is this a really new phenomenon?
Well, relatively, it's a new phenomenon because the natural compounds, we've been exposed to them, of course, for thousands of years, but for the synthetic compounds, and we've been exposed to those in the last 50 years, so the developing countries. So we synthesize more and more chemical compounds from pesticides, all our plastics or all our consumer products. They are made of those compounds. So that is increasing strong. So as an example, so by the year 2000, we have like 200,000 chemical compounds registered. And now as 2020, it's about 350,000, and it keeps going up. So most of those compounds, they have hormone activity.
Now, we've heard about endocrine disruptors. We've heard about the frogs that are destined to be females but are made males in ponds, or rather male frogs made females. Is this the same thing, type of thing that happens with do the frogs get fat? Is that how do you measure this?
Yeah, that's a pretty interesting question. And so as an environmental toxicologist, I've been studying fish and invertebrates for a lot of years. So we've seen that in their systems, so in fish and frogs and even low vertebrates, so the hormone system is quite simple, okay? So even a small interference, it will modify mostly the sex ratio. So from females to males, from males to females, that's pretty simple. In humans, this is when it turns way more complicated. So in humans, we don't have those kind of effects that we see in wildlife. See, due to the hormonal system being so complex, the most common, we see a lot of non-lethal effects, not big effects, like obesity, and even most of them are associated to cancer. So we see effects on the long term. So it's hard to measure the same effects in humans or even in vitro system, in human cells and it's hard to compare them with wildlife. But on the molecular level, we are seeing the same effect.
And tell me, now, you say it's hard to measure it. So one of the things I noted from looking at your research lab is that there's a change in, when you eat food, there's a change in the quality and quantity of fats produced when they're exposed to these endocrine disruptors. And I guess you study both endocrine disruptors in the Houston ship channel, where I guess there's a lot of pollutants from distillation of oil. And I guess the other place you're studying it is in a river in near Park City, Utah, the East Canyon Creek. Why are these so? Why are these specific places so interesting?
Yeah, so we are moving as an environmental toxicology. So we are moving from the most polluted side to the less polluted side. So we want to know what happens in the different conditions. And so the basis is to evaluate how humans we are exposed, not only from food, but also from water. So that's why we moved into the Houston Ship Channel area. That was honestly is one of the most polluted areas that I've been to. Okay, and then in Park City, Utah, is one of the less polluted areas that we've been working to. So we have kind of the two extremes. And we while we try to focus in water, okay, so those compounds that we are exposed, then they end up in water, drinking water or fresh water. So that's how we try to analyze them. And we expose them to fish, to other animals, even to human cells. And that's how we end up discovering that in human cells. So when we were extracting those compounds that you can find in water, we exposed them in human cells, we saw that effect. And that effect was kind of expected.
How big an effect is this in? In other words, should we worry about eating fish? Do the fish maintain or retain some of this? Should we worry about our drinking water? What should we be worried about? Or is it plastics in our, is it the plastics we eat? Is it our antiperspirant? What are the things that you worry about that you change in your life?
Yes, as a human consumer, so we should be more worried about those compounds that we may get them from, I should say, from food. Because from the water, the dilution volume is huge. So unless we see a huge elevated levels of those compounds in water, that's when we see some effect in fish. So for us, for humans, the alarming thing is that we can find those compounds. They are mostly perfluorinated compounds. They are used in those non-sticking surfaces, and we are surrounded by them. So food packaging material, those kind of pans, non-sticking cooking surfaces. So all of those we are continually exposed. How much are we exposed? So we don't really know. We're starting to evaluate those things. But the doses that we may be exposed, they may be really low. But one thing that we need to take into account that we may be exposed chronically. So we may not see an effect now, or maybe in 10, 15 years, is another factor that is contributing. So we're kind of starting in this field to see effects in kind of non-lethal effects in humans. And then we need to go on. We need to do way more research to see what happened with those compounds. Again, that it's now, hard to get them from water.
So water, you're not worried about from what I understand from what you've just said. But what do you avoid?
More of You, the Owner's Manual, coming right up. But let's take a moment to talk about your health. Dr. Roizen will tell you that a common question he gets asked often is what vitamins he likes, what he recommends. Without knowing more about their needs, that question used to be almost impossible to answer. Now, however, it's easy. Go to personanutrition.com/Roizen and take your free assessment. It's a smart and easy way to get personalized supplement recommendations. The Persona Assessment is backed by the latest nutritional research and the expertise of Persona's Medical Advisory Board, which consists of 8 nutritionists, a pharmacist, and 5 medical doctors, including Dr. Michael Roizen. All the latest scientific data and nutritional research put into one supplement program personalized for you. Just take the 5-minute assessment to get your free recommendations based on your goals, lifestyle, allergies, special diets, and prescription meds. Convenient vitamin packs are delivered to your door each month. Whether you want to sleep better, have more energy, or simply stay as young as you can, go to personanutrition.com/Roizen and get 50% off your order today. Half off now at personanutrition.com/Roizen. That's R-O-I-Z-E-N.
Do you avoid nonstick pans? Do you avoid plastic food packaging? Do you avoid fish? Do you avoid meat? What do you avoid?
Yes, I could avoid all those packaging, food packaging and all those pans, all those perfluorinated compounds that, again, they are designed kind of for a single use or a low, not for a long-term use. So I think that everything should be safe unless there is some leaching into the food. And that happens, let's put it this way, when you have a pan that is really scratched. So those perfluorinated compounds, they go into the food. And that's when we are exposed to those things. So again, for plastics, we found that the ethyl phthalate is also doing the same effect. That is a plastic that you can find in toys and even in food containers. So if there is some leaching into the food, that happens only in certain conditions like overheating or overusing those containers. So that's what when we are exposed to those things. So again, the industry is excellent. So they are checking everything. They're checking all toxicity, but on the short term, not on the long term. So that's where we are. Now.
So what amazes you about the lack of awareness in this? So we're pretty unaware. In other words, when I get my food, whether it is a what you would call fruit at the store, or I buy salmon burgers, they come in a plastic container. My soup comes in a metal can. This is all relatively, I guess, recent, since 1950s that we have this. Are you amazed that we are so unaware of this, or is there a way of making it safer?
Yes, so that's pretty interesting. So I am amazed that we don't detect most of the compounds that we could detect. So the problem is that our technology, our science, is not able to detect those compounds in food. Let's put it this way. So we try to detect most of those compounds, but there are a bunch of metabolites that they are still in food, and we are not able to detect. So that's what I am amazed, and we need to do way more research to detect those compounds. Those are the famous unknown compounds that is kind of like 70% of the compounds that we can see, or that the food contains, and we cannot see them. So that's the more complicated thing, and that may be the explanation to a lot of different diseases and sickness that we find later in life. Again, while they are not toxic in the acute form, so in 24 hours, in 48, or even in 7 days, they may produce some other effects. So we are advancing really fast in that field, but the synthetic chemistry field for new compounds is faster.
So now, I should say we are talking with Ramon Lovato, L-A-V-A-D-O, lovatolab.com, at Baylor University in Waco, Texas, who studies this. And I'm going to come back in a second. And I want to ask you about the fish that are resistant to dioxin in the Houston Ship Channel, and whether if we eat them, we become resistant, or whether they release their chemicals to us and we become more damaged. But before we get to that, I should tell people that we are brought to you, as usual, by, guess whom? Persona Nutrition, mypersona.com. They've been bringing this show to you for a number of years, if you will, now. So we're privileged to have them as our sponsor, mypersona.com. And you can take the free assessment at mypersona.com. And by the way, if you put in mypersona.com/Roizen, R-O-I-Z-E-N, my name, you get a large discount on your first or maybe your first two orders. mypersona.com. Dr. Lovato, tell me about these fish that you discovered that are resistant to dioxin in the Houston Ship Channel. One, do people eat them? Do people fish there? And secondly, what happens when they do eat them?
Yeah, that's pretty an interesting project. So the pioneer of that work is my colleague at Baylor University, Dr. Cole Matson. He saw those different populations that they were adapted, and I got involved in the project just to evaluate if that adaptation is due to the metabolism of those fish or how or why are they adapted. So those fish are not edible, so the people doesn't fish them. So those are an example of how wildlife gets adapted to something artificial like pollution. And that's pretty interesting because those fish, they have a quick life cycle. So that the Houston Ship Channel has been contaminated for 100 years, more than 100 years. So there is enough time for a lot of life cycles of the fish. So that's showing evolution kind of real time. So we're seeing how some fish or some population of the same species, they get adapted. We don't know why and how. We don't know if they tolerate the pollutants, or we don't know if they metabolize faster, or they don't, probably they don't absorb pollutants as far as the other population, so we're trying to figure out. So again, that's pretty interesting because we know as humans, we know some populations, we know some people that they are resistant to some chemical compounds, to some drugs, and that's the basis of the drug industry. So we see that when there is a pharmaceutical or even a vaccine, and nowadays with the coronavirus is a hot topic. So we know that some people is resistant. So what is that making that resistant? So the fish are those kind of surrogates that are really useful for us to understand what happened to the molecular level to the chemical resistance of those compounds. It's an interesting project.
So this entire field is interesting and is developing. Obviously, if you've got a son or granddaughter interested in science, this field's going to be available for a long while to study and is going to be important on how endocrine disruptors affect us. So maybe finding out more, they should inquire to the LovatoLab.com at Baylor University in Waco, Texas. Dr. Lovato, I can't thank you enough for enlightening us on this. This has been podcast number 998B. The B's are always guest segments. 998B of You, the Owner's Manual podcast. Thanks, Joe, for engineering, and you especially for downloading us and listening to us. Remember, the A segments, always the latest news of the week, and the 998A had a ton of news not related to COVID-19, such as the nation's worth grows, so do our waistlines, and we'll talk about that. It isn't all due to endocrine disruptors. It is due to our food choices as we have a little more money to spend on food. 997B this is 999B. I apologize. This is 999B, Ramon Lovato. 998B was Dr. Kang, the doctor's kidney diet. And 994B is one of my favorites, Paul Offit, who developed the rotavirus vaccine, talks about vaccine development, as well as his new book, Overkill. And another one of my favorites, George Stagnati, talked about colostrum and its values. And Catherine Eban, 947B, about Bottle of Lies, the inside story of the generic drug boom. So you want to download those. This, again, I apologize, is 999B, Dr. Raymond Lovato. Thanks very much for listening. We'll be back next week with the 1,000th. Wow, number 1,000. I guess I've been doing this for almost 20 years. Number 1,000 podcast. Thanks very much. It's because of you that we keep doing this. Thanks again.